Amen. Thank you so much, Curtie, for that good special number this morning. Take your Bible with me, please. Turn to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28 in your Bible. One of the most interesting passages in all of the Old Testament. We didn't read the entire chapter, but it brings up a lot of questions. Now, I won't be able to answer all of these questions, but this is the chapter where Saul makes his visit to the witch of Endor. We use that terminology to describe her, a woman that had a familiar spirit. Now, to explain that, it means that a woman who dabbled in spiritism or Satanism. The idea of a familiar spirit is demonic. Now, you say, Pastor, do you believe that demons are real? Yes, I do. Do you believe they exert an influence in this world? Yes, I do. You cannot explain the condition of this world apart from not only the principle of evil, but a personality of evil. And the Bible presents Satan himself as a person, a real individual who is battling against Christ, who is battling against humanity. And the battleground is in this world. And Saul, Israel's first king, a man who knew better and a man who, under the godly influence of Samuel, actually forbid the practice of familiar spirits, communication with the dead, necromancy, all of these different things, forbid it based upon the Old Testament law. Saul turned back to that as a method to divine, to determine what would happen in a given circumstance. The fact that he did that illustrates how deeply an individual can go when they turn their heart away from God. Now, a question often arises when we think about Saul, recognizing he has now turned over to the dark side. He has approached this witch somewhere in a cave, and you can just imagine what that must have looked like. The question comes to mind, was Saul genuinely saved? Was he, in the New Testament terminology, saved? Was he a Christian of the Old Testament variety? I tend to think that he was, because later on Samuel, the spirit of Samuel, who will appear to him in the passage, says, in just a day, you and your sons will be with me. Okay, Samuel obviously was a believer. The prophet Samuel was a believer. You say, Pastor Monty, do you believe that that was really Samuel? Yes, I believe it was. I believe that the Lord allowed for Samuel to come back for this. He can take a set of odd circumstances and turn them that direction. I won't have time to prove all of this from Scripture, but I'm just talking to you about the story, because it's such an interesting story. That does not mean, by the way, that ghosts of your departed loved ones are going to visit you. Did you hear what I just said? They're not. You don't want that to happen. Well, Pastor Monty, okay, save your story. Save your story. Just don't be talking to dead people. Okay? I would tell you there are some living people you ought not be talking to, too. Okay? There's plenty of those, but that's a whole different sermon. But 1 Samuel 28 illustrates chronic spiritual failure on the life of King Saul. It indicates somebody who had started life with so much promise and potential and squandered that promise and potential. You said, Pastor Monty, where did it start? It really started, and the Bible gives us this over and over again as an example, with Saul's failure to obey the Lord in regard to the Amalekites, to wiping out that entire group of pagan peoples. He failed to do that. He usurped the priest's office in that he made a sacrifice. That was unbiblical. He was not a Levite. He unjustly pursued David. He was rebelling against the fact that he knew that he would not be king, Jonathan would not be king, and there would be no kingly line of Saul. He learned that early on after the anointing of David, and yet he rebelled against that, trying to kill David, so he was rebelling against God's choice. And he was a man who was very prideful. Samuel said to him, "When thou wast little in thine own sight," meaning, Saul, there was a time in your life when you had humility, and now you have nothing but pride. And it was for those reasons, and doubtless many more, in the divine counsels of God, that Saul, who was the first king, would survive only his kingship and would be cut off at a particular time. But he was not cut off before we are given a pattern of spiritual decline that is absolutely stunning. And it is not just an Old Testament pattern, because in a moment I'm going to show you something from the New Testament. It is not just an Old Testament pattern, but it serves as a warning. You see, it is possible, and I'm approaching this from the standpoint of the church and Christians, it is possible for people who know the Lord to sink into a spiritual decline that is so deep that they fundamentally change, that they turn from what they know to be right to what they know to be wrong. And they do so out of desperation because they do not turn to Christ. Pastor Monty, have you seen this in your experience as a pastor? Yes. It's not all of the time. What I'm talking about here is a very chronic case. So there's such a thing as backsliding. People backslide all the time. People do that. You commit a sin, you don't really confess it, then you get under conviction, you confess it, you get right with the Lord. Okay, what I'm talking about is something chronic. I'm talking about something that in the life of a professed believer, and at the very least, Saul would have been, in our terminology, a professed believer. I'm talking about something in the life of a professed believer that goes on and on and on, with no repentance, with no conviction, until God Himself puts a stop to it. What are the ingredients of chronic spiritual decline? I want to give those to you quickly this morning, very quickly. Ingredient number one, I think it can start with a loss of godly influences. Look at verse number 3. Chapter 28, verse 3. The Bible says, "Now Samuel was dead." The one influence that Saul had upon his ministry as king was the words of the prophet Samuel. It was sometime after the confrontation that Saul and Samuel had regarding the Amalekites that Saul withdrew purposely from Samuel. The Bible tells us Samuel went back to his place, his hometown of Ramah. He didn't really see Saul much anymore after that. I don't think it's because of Samuel's desire to distance himself, but rather I think it was Saul personally distancing himself from the godly influence and, frankly, the convicting influence of Samuel. By the time we get to verse number 3, Samuel the prophet, who was the mouthpiece of God for that generation, Samuel the prophet was now dead. And Saul, even though he had avoided Samuel up to this point, Saul had no more access to the one man who could speak out to him the word of God. Though the relationship between the two men had become strained, Saul could still seek the mind of the Lord through Samuel, and he decided not to. So a lot of times, people head down the path of chronic spiritual decline by rejecting godly influences on their life. It can frankly be something as simple as avoiding church. Oh, by the way, making up an excuse that sounds pious for not coming to church, and it is a dumpster fire of a lie. I'm just being plain with you. Well, Pastor Marty, I just don't like it when you talk on certain subjects. I don't believe you. You're either under conviction, backslidden as the devil, or don't want anything to do with the Bible. At this church, that's the book that is preached. You notice we don't have a lot of entertainment here. At this church, that's the book that is preached. Well, Pastor Monty, I just think you should blah, blah, blah. By the way, I don't think I should, because I feel very definitely sensing the Lord's leadership in regard to the pulpit ministry of this church. Folks, when we vote in members of the church, you get a vote. When we vote for a budget of the church, you get a vote. When we have a special church meeting to adopt outside debt for the church, as we did to build this building, you get a vote. You get to vote because you're a congregation. Does everyone understand that? And we believe in congregational government. We believe in that. That is the New Testament pattern, that the congregation is the final authority. The bulk of the congregation is the final authority in the say of their church. By the way, that is why church membership is important. Okay? You can vote when you're a member. Pastor Monty, if I just show up to the church, should I vote? No. You gotta be a member. Well, why? Because then we know who you are. Think about the southern border. You ought to be an American to vote, okay? That's very basic, okay? So let us not get into all that, because we certainly could. Everyone gets a vote. When it comes to the preaching, there are no votes. Okay, that's what I believe. I've got to preach the Word of God in its clarity. Now, Saul did not maintain his relationship with Samuel. Samuel then died. Saul in his life continued to reject godly influences. You say, Pastor, give me an example. David would have been an example. As a young man, David exemplified, he wasn't a perfect person, but he exemplified the Spirit of the Lord. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. And wise it would have been when Saul recognized that Samuel had predicted the immediate demise of Saul's dynasty, which never was. Wise it would have been for Saul to bow his knee to David and say, David, help me with this thing. Help me to have a relationship with God. But he turned his back on all of that. In stubbornness and in pride. You say, Pastor, how does that happen today? Chronic spiritual decline begins, young people, when we ignore our Christian parents. Now, you listen to me. Well, Pastor, my parents are out of touch. They don't know about Instagram. They're not aware of that. Your parents, if they are in touch with God, are the best blessing you've ever had in your life. Pastor Bonnie, I just don't understand my parents. Good. Trust them when you cannot understand them. Spiritual decline begins when we reject spiritual influences upon our life. It could be something like scoffing at preaching or scoffing at teachers or distancing yourself from church or church activities, adopting worldly friends and mentors. I want to say this, every godly influence in our life is a grace from God. Do not reject them. Spiritual decline begins when I reject the godly influence. Number two, it continues when my relationship with God is not personal. My relationship with God is not personal. Look, if you will, at verse number four. Saul is now in a place where Samuel is dead. The Philistines gather themselves together. The Bible says they were gathered in one place in Israel and another. Verse 5, and when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid. His heart greatly trembled. Why? He had no word from God as to what to do. Samuel is dead, and so Saul inquired, verse 6, Saul inquired of the Lord. The Lord answered him not. Neither by dreams, nor Urim, that was a priestly method of communicating with the divine, nor by the prophets, because the prophet Samuel was dead. In other words, Saul had no direct line to God. Practical application of that is this. Spiritual decline begins when we don't have a real relationship with God. I personally believe that Saul was saved in the terminology we use in the New Testament, that he was a true Israelite. I personally believe that that is the case. But he was very carnal. And he got cemented into his carnality, into his pride, because of his stubborn heart. He inquired of the Lord, but only when he was in trouble. Church family, please listen. God is not 911. So many people have no ongoing relationship with the Lord on a daily basis, but boy, the minute something happens, they expect God to jump to. And it doesn't work that way. Saul had no personal relationship. He really had come to depend upon others for that. Initially Samuel, later the priests who through these priestly methods could divine the will of God. Saul could not stand on his own two feet spiritually. So the question I have for you is this. Do you walk with God? Oh, Pastor Bonnie, I'm here at church. I love that. I love that you're here at church. Do you walk with God? Can I tell you something about church? Spiritually speaking, this should be the icing on the cake. That's not keto-y speaking. It's spiritually speaking. What is the cake? The cake is the fact that every day I read my Bible to listen for the voice of God. The cake is the fact that I'm praying. The cake is the fact that I'm learning to walk with God. And listen to this, to sense the Holy Spirit's working and leadership in my life. To sense when He's speaking to my heart. He never speaks contrary to the Word of God. But to really know Him. To genuinely be able to bow in prayer, to read that book, to have some familiarity, because it's real. Listen, I cannot be surrogately spiritual for you. I'm not a vicarious spirituality, and I'm glad you're here this morning, but your real spirituality is your relationship with Christ. you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him, you've never been born again, then the number one need you have is to be born again. I will tell you this right now. The Baptist, he's the pastor, I'm fine. I'm a member of the Baptist church. That Baptist name tag's either going to fall off when you go to heaven, it's going to burn off when you go to hell. One of the truths is true. It is not being a church member that makes you right with God. It is not attending any particular church or denomination that puts you on the list of people going to heaven. The only way to heaven is through a real and personal relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took my place. The penalty of our sins, the wrath of God, was laid upon Him when He died on the cross. He shed His blood for me. My sin is awful enough to demand the death of the Son of God. And God is gracious enough to send His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that believing in Him, that trusting in Him, is something that occurs in a point in time when I recognize that I am a sinner, when I realize I cannot save myself, when I realize that it's not by works of righteousness which I have done. There's nothing I could do to clean up my act. Pastor Monty, I'm just going to determine to do better. Okay, but what about all the past? And what about all the determination to do better that ends in failure, because for every single one of us it does? And none of that speaks of the grace of God. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Then faith, believing, trusting. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Personal relationship with God begins with trusting Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor, I don't know where I stand with that. We don't want you to leave here until you know where you stand with Him, until you've made a serious, heartfelt belief commitment to Jesus. No personal relationship with God is certainly the beginning of chronic spiritual decline. But for Christians, those of us who know the Lord, it's still possible, because we neglect that. Pastor Monty, are you suggesting that Christians should read their Bible every day? Yes, I am. And you know what the great thing is today? You have so many good tools to help you. Many of us have a commute to work where we could listen to the Bible being read. I'm going to make a recommendation, practical recommendation, Through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. How many remember that? You remember that? Okay, probably Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Now, he's old school. Hey, kids, listen to this. He's old school, but he has an app. Okay, now he's dead, but they have recordings of him, and he has an app. Okay, so write this down. Then write the Through the Bible app, THRU, Through the Bible app. Oh, good, you're writing this down. Through the Bible app, J. Vernon, He being dead yet speaketh, in the words of the book of Hebrews. J. Vernon McGee walks you through the entire Bible. There are some men in this church that listen to that on their commute to work, and they know the Bible as well as any man I've ever known. I'm giving you a practical recommendation because so many people struggle with this. This is an idea for you. But Saul had no personal relationship with God. But what God... It got worse. Because God was no longer answering Saul. Look what happened in verse number 7. Saul said unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, someone who can communicate with demons, that I may go to her and inquire of her. Now, in the previous verse, verse 3, it tells us that Saul, under the influence of Samuel, had eliminated this paganism from the land. And now, because the Lord no longer spoke to him, because Saul no longer walked with God, all of a sudden, he is turning to the witch's cave, to the place where he would never have turned before. There is a progression in spiritual decline, ladies and gentlemen, and it can be very dramatic. So he said, I want a woman with a familiar spirit, that I may go to her, inquire of her. His servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And we refer to her as the witch of Endor. He moved toward darkness instead of toward light. Saul sought answers in the wrong places. So be very careful of that. Pastor Monty, I am struggling with some things. And I just don't think the Bible has the answer. You've not looked at it closely enough. Well, Pastor Bonnie, if I adopt the Bible's answer, that'll put me outside of the pale of our culture. It sure will. Pastor Bonnie, if I adopt the Bible's answer, it'll put me outside of the pale of our society. It sure will. It'll put me out, Pastor Bonnie, I'll just be a nobody on social media. Well, good. If I adopt what God, this is the fear people have. If I adopt what God says, it won't work. Now you listen to me. It has worked for 1,000 generations. And what does not work is the stupidity of people who are denying common sense things such as biology. And the last 5 years, I guess, Pastor Monty, we're living in the information age. We're living in the misinformation age. And by the way, there is nothing more satanic. See, way back in, and I'm not preaching on this right now, but I will. Way back in the Garden of Eden, God said this. He created Adam. He created Eve. Male and female created He them. It is fundamental to society that male and female be defined. And so God made striking physiological differences between the sexes so that it is easy to figure out. Any amalgamation of that, any alteration of that, any change to that polarity, you heard what I just said, any change to that polarity is a direct satanic assault on the Word of God. It's not just people being stupid, although they are. It is people who, under, I believe, strong demonic influence, as much as the Witch of Endor, people who, under strong demonic influence, are turning to the wrong thing. The devil is whispering into their ears, and out of their PhD anointed mouths is coming some of the greatest stupidity the world has ever known. And ladies and gentlemen, it is satanic. You mark it down. So, Pastor Monty, you really feel that all of this woke stuff? Yep. The devil is behind every bit of that woke stuff. Pastor, why would you preach? I want our young people to hear it. And by the way, I don't compromise on this. Okay, we're not interested in that. The devil's behind that. Saul turned to the wrong place. You say, Pastor Monty, does that happen? I want you to see New Testament quickly. New Testament parallel. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. You've got to see this. Because we're talking about spiritual decline. And we're talking about chronic spiritual decline this morning and how this was manifest in Saul's life. There's a bigger picture in Romans chapter 1. Turn so that you're going to look at verse 18 with me. There's a bigger picture in Romans chapter 1 where Paul says that the world at large, though initially having a knowledge of God, and this would go all the way back to creation, the earliest days of creation, though initially having knowledge of God, the world has lost that knowledge. Not because God hid himself, but because man stopped listening to God. Saul is an example of one person, one individual who went into deep spiritual decline. Romans chapter 1 is an example of the world departing from God and finding itself in deep spiritual decline. Look, if you will, Romans 1 verse 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God," the word wrath means anger, "the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The word hold means to hold down or to hold back or to suppress. They have the truth, follow me, they have the truth, but they're suppressing the truth. They have the truth. They could hear the truth, but they cancel culture the truth. They have the truth, but they kick you off YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook for the truth. This is exactly, now this was written back in the first century. It is as current as any newspaper today. What happened? Why does this happen? Because, verse 19, "that which may be known of God is manifest," that means made obvious, "in them. For God hath showed it unto them." What does that mean? I can know an awful lot about God by looking at the physical human body. Oh, Pastor Bonnie, isn't the human being species, isn't that a miracle of evolution? How dumb can you be? This is a created person, made in the image of Almighty God. By the way, I don't subscribe to evolution. I don't subscribe to long-age creationism where God used the vehicle of evolution, blah, 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 blah. You surpass my word, you believe. I believe that God created this world and everything in it in six literal days. 24-hour days. Okay, let's just be clear. You say, why? Because that is precisely what the Bible says. Now, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen. So looking at creation, we can understand who God is. Being understood by the things that are made, the things God made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, note the next words, so that they are without excuse. Anyone with half a brain knows that something as intricately designed as this world, as the human body, has to have a designer. That designer is God. He reveals Himself to us in the Bible. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, now here's the problem, they knew who God was. They were aware of this. This goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Because that when they knew God, note this, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. They didn't acknowledge Him as God. They were not thankful because being thankful would acknowledge someone higher than themselves. And note the next words. They became vain in their imaginations. The word vain means empty. Any theory was not only a possibility, but it was acceptable. Well, that's not, you just need to follow the science. That's crazy. Every goofy theory that comes down the pike, if someone has a PhD, we now are expected to follow it. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart, notice this, was darkened. Okay, not enlightened, but darkened. You turn your back on that book, and you will plunge your life into darkness. It is absolutely guaranteed. And the end of that will be very sad. Look at the next verse. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I have a university degree, someone said. I'm so smart, I'm not sure which bathroom I should use today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, by the way, I have no problem calling this out. Because it is a mess, and I have zero patience with it and zero respect, and I will not tolerate it nor stand for it. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I don't know what they did. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Well, what happened? We don't want to worship the incorruptible God anymore. We will now worship a God we make in our own image. That's where we are. Are you following me? This is a repeat of what has happened before. Wherefore, and these are scary words, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up. Why did God stop talking to Saul? God gave him up. Who did He give up? Verse 25. Those who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. I want every eye on your Bible. I need every eye on your Bible right now. My opinions about these things, oh, Pastor Monty, is just old school. No. Bible. Every eye on your Bible. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What is he talking about? Verse 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. What is that talking about? One thing. Homosexuality. Crystal clear. Don't you ever tell me the Bible doesn't talk about this topic. It does, Old and New Testament. What does the Bible say now? Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Your Bible's back in 1 Samuel 28. Pastor Monty, what happened? Saul had taken a long road down. It was a tragic road. You say, Pastor, what would happen? The Lord allowed a message to come. And it was as simple as this. If you look at the end, toward the end of the chapter, we're in chapter 28. If you look toward the end of the chapter, verse 15, this is Samuel. Having manifest himself in front of Saul in the cave of the witch of Endor. By the way, the witch herself was really surprised that it worked this time. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me." What very sad words Saul said there. "God has departed from me. And answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mightest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy?" Sadder words still. "The Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand," Samuel speaking to Saul, "and give it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon the Amalekite. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day." Moreover, Samuel now speaking to Saul from the grave, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. Tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Those were the last words. Words spoken from the grave to King Saul. Last words of prophet Samuel. And he predicted that Saul would end his sad career on Mount Gilboa. Ladies and gentlemen, chronic spiritual decline never ends well. Well, Pastor Monty, now wait a minute. King David, he had problems. Like, remember old Uriah? He murdered Uriah. And, well, you remember that Bathsheba thing. That wasn't exactly small. He had problems. Why didn't God deal with David the way he dealt with Saul? I mean, it almost doesn't seem fair. Both men were sinners. Their sins might have been a little differently. Why didn't God deal hardcore with David? And Saul, it seems like, boy, he really got torched. Why is that? I'll tell you what the difference is. In Saul, there was a spirit of rebellion. In David, there was a spirit of repentance. And you hear me? If you'll turn to Christ, He will forgive. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we cement and solidify ourselves in rebellion, ultimately we will face the judging hand of God. I plead with you, if you're here and you're not saved, please turn to Christ. You say, "Pastor Monty, will He save me?" Yes, anyone who comes to Him is saved. He'll save anyone. There's no one unsavable. And if you're here as a Christian, you'd say, "Pastor, I'm walking away from the Lord." Man, let's get that right this morning. Father, thank You for Your Word. I pray, Lord, that as we've looked just briefly at Saul, I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would help us to understand a great truth. Lord, You are very patient with us, and we love You for that. But Lord, if we continue to persist in our rebellion, there'll come a day when we'll be dealt with. If we're Christians, we'll be chastised. Lord, if we're lost people and walk into eternity without Christ, we'll suffer the torments of the damned forever. Father, I pray You'd help us to see this truth. And Lord, that Your Spirit would work in our hearts. Everyone individually, Lord, work in our hearts today. Draw those who are not Christians, draw them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Thank You for Your Word in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please.